In my nearly four-year tenure as pastor at Queen Anne Lutheran, I have veered from the lectionary texts twice from the pulpit. Today, given the circumstances around us, I feel justified in a third time. Plague. In 1527, it sweeps across the German countryside, one of many instances it would appear in Europe since its initial outbreak in 1350. John Hess, a pastor in Breslau, Germany, writes desperately to Martin Luther in Wittenberg. He has one question. Can a Christian flee the plague, or must he remain and tend to its victims? Can a Christian flee the plague? Wittenberg. Bubonic plague, or Black Death, surfaces in August of that same year. School officials, like ours, close the university where Luther teaches, admonishing students immediately to return to their homes. Luther remains, ministering to the first wave of victims while suffering himself from cerebral anemia, a condition where fewer red blood cells than normal reach the brain, one that can lead to permanent tissue damage, and one for which there is no known treatment or cure in Luther's time. Months passed. The reformer, debilitated by his own failing health, finally responds to Hess. The title of his response, "Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague." Description. Luther begins with the opposition. There are some, he says, who are firm in the opinion that one need not and should not run from a deadly plague. Rather, they hold, since death is God's punishment, which he sends upon us for our sins, we must submit to God and with a true and firm faith patiently await our punishment. I cannot condemn this view, Luther says, reflecting what James Kittleson, author of Luther the Reformer, calls the age of fire and brimstone in which Luther lived, one where natural disasters and sickness are believed to come from God as a response to human sin. A way of thinking that would, taken here by itself, justify the consignment of Luther's thought to the trash heap of superstition where it belongs. But, surprise. Luther's refusal in the treatise initially to censure those who think it is the duty of a Christian to submit to God's wrath gives way rather astonishingly to a different view. As one editor puts it, Luther here fights against the notion that faith would protect a person from the plague. He writes, "I hear people say, if war or the Turks come, one should stay and await God's punishment by the sword. That is quite true. Let him who has a strong faith wait for his death. But he should not condemn those who take flight. By such reasoning, when a house is on fire, no one should run outside or rush to help, because such a fire is also punishment from God. Freezing weather and winter are also God's punishment and can cause death. Why run to get outside or near a fire? Be strong and stay outside until it becomes warm again," which never happens in Germany. We should then need no apothecaries or drugs or physicians, Luther says, because all illnesses are punishments from God. He's mocking this view. Hunger and thirst are also great punishments and torture. Why do you eat or drink instead of letting yourself be punished until hunger and thirst stop themselves? Where would this madness end? Luther asks. Luther's turn here to what we might today call common sense wasn't so common in his time. And actually, after seeing the way people are reacting to the coronavirus, I'm not sure it's so common in our time either. After all, though we are absolutely right to be cautious when it comes to the virus, we are not dealing with the plague. We are dealing rather with a virus that is thankfully at least less severe. That said, Luther offers some surprisingly relevant advice for dealing with outbreaks of disease. And this morning, I wanted to share with you a few of them. For starters, only those people who are necessary should tend to the victims. This includes doctors, pastors, public officials, and any individual upon whom an afflicted person is dependent. Next, religious folk should not tempt God by saying they don't need to take any precautions because God will protect them. There are some, Luther writes, who disdain the use of medicines. They do not avoid places and persons infected by the plague, but lightheartedly make sport of it and wish to prove how independent they are. They say that it is God's punishment. If he wants to protect them, he can do so without medicines or our carefulness. This, Luther says, is not trusting God, but tempting him. God has created medicines and provided us with intelligence to guard and take good care of the body so that we can live in good health. Luther condemns in fullest terms God tempters, that is, people who say God will take care of it without recourse to medicine or the mind. Luther condemns in the fullest terms God tempters by the effect their attitude has not only on themselves, but on other people. It's one thing, he says, of making no use of intelligence or medicine to harm oneself. It is even more shameful for a person to pay no heed to his own body and fail to protect it against the plague the best that he is able, and then to infect and poison others who might have remained alive if he had taken care of his body as he should have. He is thus responsible before God for his neighbor's death and is a murderer many times over. Wow. Luther adds additional practical steps his readers here can take. Use medicines, he says. Take potions. I wouldn't advise that, but take potions which can help you. Fumigate house, yard, and street. Shun persons and places wherever your neighbor does not need your presence or is recovered, and act like a person who wants to help put out a burning city. He appeals to Scripture to argue that fleeing the plague again, whenever your neighbor does not need you, is completely justified. Examples, he writes, in Holy Scripture abundantly prove that to flee from death is not wrong in itself. Abraham was a great saint, but he feared death and escaped it by pretending before others that his wife Sarah was his sister. A little awkward. Because he did so without neglecting or adversely affecting his neighbor, it was not counted as sin against him. Moses, Uriah, Elijah, David, Jacob, and Isaac, all of them, Luther writes, fled from death when it was possible and saved their lives, yet without depriving their neighbors of anything but first meeting their obligations toward them. Most importantly, then, it's the benefit and welfare of the neighbor that should get the most attention. No one, Luther writes, should dare leave his neighbor unless there are others who will take care of the sick in their stead and nurse them. Let me repeat that. No one, Luther writes, should dare leave his neighbor unless there are others who will take care of the sick in their stead and nurse them. So let's put this all together. Luther's basic response for his time to the question of whether a Christian can flee a disease, or in this case, the plague, should now, I hope, be clear. It depends. If you are not needed, Luther says, then there is no reason to stay. Get the heck out. You are perfectly justified in leaving to ensure your own survival. If you are needed, however, then God calls you on behalf of your neighbor to remain. I think, for example, of the healthcare providers in this congregation. Theirs is a call from God, according to Luther, to remain if they are needed to help victims of this disease. So what about us? What about 500 years later, our time? I think Luther offers here some surprisingly helpful advice. Number one, make others your priority, but do so in a way that doesn't unnecessarily risk your own health. This could be as simple as a phone call to check in on a friend. Two, don't assume that as a person of faith, God will magically protect you. This is the thinking of Christian fundamentalists and modern-day vaccine deniers. Instead, make use of the medicines and the brain God gave you. This is how God provides. Third and finally, remember that by protecting yourself, you protect others. If you feel sick, don't expose others to what you have. It's not just about you, as Arletta used to say to me. It's about your neighbor. Plague. In 1527, it swept across the German countryside, one of many instances it would appear in Europe since its initial outbreak in 1350. Luther would survive it, along with two other outbreaks of the plague during his lifetime, tending to victims every time. Some scholars think he wrote his most famous hymn during one of these outbreaks. Perhaps you've heard of it. A mighty fortress is our God. A testament to the faith that empowered Luther to remain, to put his neighbor first, to rely on the gifts God had given him to help other people. May that same faith empower each of you to do for your neighbors what Luther did for his. Amen.